bleed red.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read or Cinema.
Yeah, Poorly Read. A la discotheque. Poorly Read. In the Krankenhaus.
Poorly Read. Dans la piscine.
No, thank you. Oh, God, me and Tom are talking about sharks and stuff before this. I keep on trying to get Tom to come over to my side and agreeing that they're murderous bastards and need to be shot. But Tom's like, no. Oh, God. Tom's in favour of sharks. He voted for them.
I think sharks should have more power in this world.
Yeah. And I was like, Tom, they don't represent any of your values. And he was like, no, I believe what the shark is saying. I believe that the sharks will make the ocean great again. And I was like, okay.
They want to get rid of all those filthy foreign fish.
And then I was on Instagram, and then I saw that Tom had fucking gone to the ocean with a Confederate flag.
Join the shark march.
Do the shark march. Anyway, what are we fucking talking about today, Thomas?
Talking about the fucking red windmill.
Yeah, the Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
A nightclub.
Somewhere in France.
Yeah, somewhere in the most French part of France.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what did you think of the film?
I thought by the end it was a very good film and I enjoyed it. And yeah. I am so surprised that has ended up being my sort of verdict, because honestly, 20 minutes in, I fucking hated it. I was like, man, I was honestly thinking, I don't know if I can stomach this. Like, I was thinking I might not be able to fucking sit through it, because it's just, I was like, is there going to be this just mad, erratic energy just going throughout? Because it's making me want to throw up and pass out. And all the, like, the kind of hyper-stylized, extra-saturated colours and, like, you know, cabaret of it all. And I was just like, ugh. But it did gradually win me over, and I was invested by the end. And it's obviously, like, it is objectively a very good film.
Yeah, I was curious as to what you were going to think, because I thought, oh, Tom might, like, really hate this.
Yeah, and I really thought I was going to, like, in the beginning when it's all, like, so, yeah, erratic, I guess, is the word, and, like, quick cuts to set up the story of what's going on, and everyone's so larger than life, and it's in this weird kind of ultra stylized quirky version of reality that just makes me go, ugh, fuck off.
See, I think, because I was legitimately gonna text you beforehand and say, so just to warn you, like, you kind of, this is what it's like, and if you know that beforehand, I think you'd enjoy it more. And I kind of wish I'd given you the heads up.
Yeah, maybe. I was in a very chill place very late at night when I put it on, and I was just like, I'm not here for this.
Yeah, someone else I know, the first time they watched it, they were like, oh, God. But then they watched it again and they were like, I actually really loved it, because they knew what to expect.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Like, despite feeling that way the first 20 minutes, it started to win me over, like, gradually throughout the thing. And by the end of the film, I was like, holy shit. And it does leave an impact.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, I don't know. Impactful, I guess.
I remember, like, because, oh, God, this film is 20 years old at this point, and I remember going to cinema.
I thought it was even older than that. I didn't realize it was as recent as 2001. In my head, it's one of those films that's always been around.
Yeah, because it was one of the last films I remember being a proper event film. Like, this was a big deal when it came out. There was a lot of promo for it. There's a lot of, like, specials on TV. The song for it went to number one. Like, it was a big deal. And you don't really get that anymore, unfortunately, which is a shame, because I used to really enjoy that sort of, like, furore around a film, or Führer. Not Führer.
The Führer. I used to enjoy when the Führer came on stage at the cinema.
Like, I like when she sings.
It's an excellent impression of the Führer.
But yeah, like, and I remember going to cinema and I loved it. And I just like, because I just thought it was so fucking like creative. It was just so creative. And I thought the amount of work that must have went into just creating this, like, because when I think if you was to like watch like the first 20 minutes again now, I think you'd maybe feel a little bit differently.
I think I would, yeah.
Yeah, and like that, the way that they made you fucking feel the entire vibe of that place in like this wild like montage of song and visuals, like that's a real achievement, I think, because like you completely got not just what the Moulin Rouge was about, but what the experience was like for the people that went there.
Yeah. And this is the thing, even in the first 20 minutes of the film when I was really not enjoying it, I was never in any doubt that the film craft behind it was excellent. It was always just, this flavor is not, I don't like the taste of this, you know?
Yeah. This is a good meal, but it makes me feel icky.
Yes.
But then I get to the bit in the middle and I like it now and I would order it again.
Because now I understand the bit on the outside.
Yes. Yes, turns out I was just a dirty commoner when I was eating the outside bit, but now I'm all refined.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I haven't watched this in like since uni, I think. And one thing that I did realize this time is that some of the singing...
Oh, Ewan McGregor can't sing for shit.
Are you being serious?
I thought his voice was... Well, I actually found it kind of endearing towards the end that none of their voices are particularly, like, musical theatre refined.
I thought his voice was almost exceptional, actually.
Oh, really? I thought it sounds like auto-tuned karaoke.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
Okay, well, Ewan McGregor is heavily pitch-corrected. I can tell. I'm not shitting on it. It is absolute industry standard to have some pitch correction on pretty much any vocal you will ever hear. But I didn't think the tone of his voice was very good. I didn't think he was a very good singer at all.
That's so weird. Yeah. So this is why, like, this is a good lesson to everyone. This is why you should never let someone's opinion of anything you do matter too much. Because I thought Ewan's voice was great and Tom thought it was shit. And, like, we're both right, you know? So everything's always just a matter
of opinion.
I guess
so. Well, this is it. Liking someone's voice is subjective, like 100% subjective, isn't it?
Unless it's something that can literally be measured, like you ran a race and you came in first. There's no right answer.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a matter of taste.
Yeah.
There's some of the singing like annoyed me a little bit. Like some of it, I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like when Ewan McGregor was singing your song to a...
Yeah, see, that for me was just like how to systematically drain all of the feeling out of a performance of a song. Like I was just, that was so, it was just so not pitch wise because it's been pitch corrected, but it's flat. It was just flat and lifeless. I just thought
it was just inappropriate.
Yeah,
that's like, I feel like if that had happened later in the film then it would have been cool. But in that moment, I was like, oh, this is a bit unnecessary.
Yeah, maybe. And that didn't even end up being their song.
Yeah, exactly. And so that annoyed me. And then some of the later singing, like the Roxanne bit, kind of annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah, I actually really liked that whole sequence.
I liked the dancing and stuff. And I liked him. I liked his intro to the song when he was talking about why you should never fall in love with a sex worker. But then once you get into the lyrics, it's like, this has nothing to do with, like, I mean, like, it obviously does, because, like, you don't have to sell your body to the light. But other than that, like, having someone's name in the song and stuff, it's like, I was like, this feels shoehorned. I wish they just had the tango music and that's it. It would have been awesome with just that, I think. Just the tango music and then him sort of saying, like, awesome lines, like, to sort of illustrate his point more throughout it, I think would have been nice.
I guess so. I guess you kind of need the knowledge that that song is about a prostitute. And obviously I know you know that, but
all right, Tom, calm down.
But in the world of Moulin Rouge, that song, he's, you know, before that song is coming out of him for the first time, like, it,
yeah, exactly,
it's like, it's weird.
Ewan doesn't know who fucking Roxanne is.
Yeah,
It should have been like, who's Roxanne? You'd be like, ah, the first woman I love. She's dead now. Roxanne. And then I would have been like, okay. Okay. Maybe that would have sold me, actually. But he didn't do that. So yeah, just some of the songs felt too shoehorned in. Like, your song felt shoehorned, you know?
Yeah.
Just because the lyrical content, I can totally see why, but it just doesn't gel enough. And that bothered me.
That didn't occur to me at the time with either of those songs, actually. But I know what you're saying. I just didn't enjoy the performance of your song, but I did like the whole Roxanne section and the back and forth between whatever scene it's cutting back and forth with. I can't remember.
It's the rape scene.
Oh yeah. Well, let's invent some more of those, shall we?
Yeah, so then he fucked her and then she died on stage. It's like, oh, fuck. Why I didn't have a 10-foot penis that speared her. Look, it pierced her lung. She's coughing up blood. Oh, anyway, give me another sex worker.
It's her consumption. She's been dying throughout this whole film.
I tried to read up on tuberculosis yesterday.
Is that what it is? Is it just another term for tuberculosis?
Yeah, they used to call it the consumption because your body would, like, you would lose a lot of weight. So it would sort of like consume
your body.
Look
like it was consuming you, yeah.
And I was like, has it died out? And apparently no, apparently it can be quite a big deal in like parts of Asia and Africa and stuff. It's quite rare that it happens in the West.
Well, we have a immunization for it.
Yeah, we do. It's only like 40% effective or something like that, though, which isn't very high, but then that's what...
So I've got this fucking scar on my arm for like...
I never got a BCG for some reason. But yeah, anyway, TB.
TBC.
Tuberculosis.
Cox.
Tuberculosis cox. Yeah, I'll give you an injection. Anyway, yeah, let's fucking start. We could talk about all the good things, all the bad things.
Yeah.
That may be. Let's talk about Moulin Rouge.
I'm trying. At the beginning of the film, Ewan McGregor is sad.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor's sad. He's like, oh, fuck. I've run out of marmalade.
Oh, no.
All I've got is lemon curd. Let me write a story about this. This story is about lemon curd. The lemon curd that I loved has finished.
It has been discontinued.
Yeah. It was called the marmalade. It was a night snack for the wealthy and the deviant underworld. And the most beautiful marmalade of all.
Clementine.
Yeah, Clementine. They called her the sparkling orange.
Yeah, well, we get a little intro where he says it was something was in love with someone from the Moulin Rouge. But yeah. She's dead now. And then an unconscious Argentinian fell through my ceiling.
Yeah, because it takes you back a year when he first arrived in Paris. And his dad was like, don't go to Paris, it's full of hookers. And he's like, fucking hell, I'm getting
yeah, we're
going
to bloody Paris, mate.
Yeah. And then he ends up in this flat and he tries to write, but he can't because he's never been in love. So he can't write about love. And then the Argentinian falls through his roof. And Christian's like, oh, look at that man with a mustache and the old-timey swimsuit.
I'm in love.
Yeah. Look, he's got the biggest penis I've ever seen in my life. And he's unconscious.
So he starts wanking him off and then a dwarf dressed as a nun walks in.
He's like, fucking hell, my lucky day. Just the right height. Yeah. Is he a playwright too? Because Toulouse-Lautrec was a real person, weren't he?
Was he? I don't know.
Yeah, there's like an original Moulin Rouge film from like the 50s or 60s that I think is about him. I've never seen it because I thought, oh, it looks boring. Yeah, he's a guy. He's a real guy. I think he might be an artist or something like that. Anyway, fucking hell, he comes in. He's like, oh, sorry about this. And then through the hole in the roof, the playwright and the musician and the special effects guy, I guess, are like, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, my Argentinian just fell through your roof. I can see you've got acquainted already. And then they're like, oh, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm a writer. And he's like, oh, can you come up here for some reason? He's like, yeah, okay, I'll join you upstairs.
And before I knew it, I was standing in for the unconscious Argentinian.
That's why I forgot, yeah. Well done, Tom. Look at you and your sharp memory.
Haha, thank you. I wrote it down.
That's my problem. I don't read my fucking notes. I write them all down. I just don't look at them. I've literally written Christian to stand in for the Argentinian in the play. Yeah.
But he goes upstairs for some reason.
Yeah. But it's go wank off on a higher story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
wank off the rest of them.
Yeah. So they're all, like, trying to fix the words to this song. They're like, ah, the mountains are a quiver with the lamentations of the women, or something like that. Yeah. And then Christian's trying to, like, cut in. He's like, oh, what about... And then he just goes, the hills are alive with the sound of music.
Ooh.
And then they're all like, ah,
oh, that was nice,
hell.
Mate. Well done. That was bloody lovely, that was.
Anyway, so they're all like, ah, oh, fucking hell, that's amazing. And then everyone's like, ah, oh, yes, the hills are alive.
Yeah.
We all love
and this
it.
Is the I was really surprised by that because I didn't know anything about this film going in, so I didn't know there was loads of, you know, stuff from actual pre-existing songs in it.
Yeah, and watching it again, I thought, fucking hell, it's so nuts that they got the rights to all these
songs.
Yeah,
I was thinking this must be the most expensive film in fucking history. I mean, it would be now, because, well, this film was made back when record sales were still a thing.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe, you know... paying royalties or getting licensing rights to use those songs maybe might have been more affordable because that wasn't like one of the main ways that recording artists get revenue.
I don't reckon it would be more affordable.
Honestly though, that's complete, I've completely plucked that out of nothing. I might be complete bullshit.
Yeah, I don't reckon it would have been more affordable. What I think would have been the biggest hurdle, which I think they overcame, but I think that because before this he'd done that Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes.
Yeah.
Which is a really good film, and I reckon that...
I watched it in Year 9 English, I think. That's the last time I saw it.
Yeah, I think we did as well, actually. I think that's the last time I saw it. And I reckon that the hard part would have been getting people to allow you to use the rights, but I think that people must have liked Baz Luhrmann's work before this and been like, yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, if he had a lot of pull to his name, then that would have helped.
Which I reckon
sure.
he did. I reckon if he, I'd say if this was like amazingly his first film or something like that, I don't reckon he would have been able to like secure all of those songs.
Yeah, because there's an association concern, isn't there? They don't want to be associated with trash, but like if it's, you know, they're associating with a really good film, they're probably going to do good things for their music.
Yeah, and all the songs in this film are like big songs. There's no like, there's like one that isn't a big song, and ironically, I know the woman who originally sung it.
What song is that?
I don't even know the words to it, but it's later on when she finds out she's dying. Spoiler, and she's like, "If I..."
Well, we already know she's dying.
That's true. It does say up front she's fucking dead. Yeah, it's the song. She's like the few lines of a song she sings when she like finds out she's dead. And I know the woman, she was part of this band called Lamb, who sung that.
Huh.
And I remember they got me to sing on a song of theirs once, but I don't know if they ever used my vocal in the... This is when I was a kid. I had a really, really good voice when I was a kid. But I don't know if they ever used it. I do appear on, like, a liner note credit, but I didn't ever receive any money. Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, you were a kid. Maybe it's going to like your dad and he's just kept quiet about it.
Maybe. I do like it has my name and then it has like a question mark by it because I don't think they could remember what I did because I don't think they used my vocal in the end.
So, oh, we better put his name in just in case he did something.
So, yeah, they're like, oh, Christian, you should write the thing because you're a writer and you just write that awesome line. This is indicative of your talent.
Yes.
And then the actual writer's like, I will not... No, they wanted to co-write. But the actual writer's like, no, I don't think so. I only write solo. Good day. And she storms out.
Oh, yeah.
Or he storms out. I don't know what gender they are.
It's kind of the idea, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not going to make a joke because I don't know what is crossing the line anymore.
It's a bit of a touchy subject, isn't it? Let's just gently sidestep that one.
Yeah. Let's sidestep it like they sidestep definition. Anyway, so they're like, do you know what? Let's have a fucking party tonight.
Yeah, because Ewan McGregor is now our new writer.
Yeah.
At this point, I was still using the actor names in my notes. There always comes a point, like, you know, 2/3 of the way through the film where I transitioned from using the actors' names to the characters' names.
God, yeah, because they're like, look, let's get drunk. We're going to go to the Moulin Rouge tonight. Because, right, so this whole bit about what they're doing there did confuse me a bit. Because I was like, I feel like I've missed something. But they're going to the Moulin Rouge to convince Zidla, the owner of the Moulin Rouge, to stage their play there. The play that they're writing.
Yeah, that they haven't written yet.
Yeah, but what is their actual plan?
I don't know, but the... What's his name? Jim?
Zidla.
He knows Toulouse, etc.
Yeah.
So they already have, like, contact, so they're going over to talk to him about staging a new play, I guess. It's not like they're going over to make first contact.
But he's like, I'm going to get you an audience with Satine, which made me feel like it must have been a prearranged thing.
Oh, yeah. Why did they arrange that? Why did they want to arrange that audience with Satine? And also, they sort of didn't, did they? The only reason she was
surprised
with him,
to see him
was because it was a mistake because she thought he was the Duke.
Yeah. So I don't know how... All I could think was, okay, so maybe it was all like bollocks and they were just going to try and thrust Christian into Satine's chambers and hope he can convince her kind of on the sly, and then she can go to Harold and say, Toulouse has written this brilliant play. Because she does say, is this another one? Are you another one of Toulouse's like writer people?
Ah, okay.
So he must do it quite a lot, but this one's got a big cock.
Yes, so they go...
He's got a huge talent! Anyway...
Was that a line from the film?
Yeah, because when she takes out his dick and she's like, oh, big boy.
Yeah.
And Toulouse is like, he's got a huge talent.
And they're all doing the fucking farcical building climbing outside.
I love that. Oh, God.
That was still when I was in my eye-rolly phase of the film.
Was you out of it by the time we got to, like, Spectacular?
Well, which, because that's the name of their play, isn't it?
Yeah, but like the sort of, like, when they do the little, like, performance for the
That
for
was
the
when I found... Nicole Kidman in that bit so endearing that it like kind of started to pull me out of it. That was when I started to come around.
Okay, cool. Because I think that's my favorite bit in retrospect. I was like, oh, anyway, sorry, I'm getting so excited about everything. Yeah.
It's all so glamorous and colorful.
Yeah. Oh god, so they all have absinthe and then Kylie Minogue appears in front of them as the green fairy.
Yeah, who I was expecting to be a bigger deal in this film.
I kind of like that it wasn't.
Yeah,
I
it was like just it was like, here's Kylie Minogue, by the way.
Yeah. Right. Apparently, it was supposed to be Ozzy Osbourne at first. And then they were like, oh, why don't we get Kylie Minogue? Because, yeah, like the Ozzy scream Osbourne that she does when they go sort of into like the whirlpool kind of thing is actually Ozzy's voice, apparently. But yeah, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Wonder what other roles would be a toss up between Ozzy Osbourne and Kylie Minogue. What direction did they want to go in?
All right, okay, we could have a troublesome and problematic old rocker, or we could have Australia's sweetheart. They're like, oh, fuck.
Another one.
Which one is most likely to let me rub their titties? They're like, probably Ozzy Osbourne. He's like, oh, but I want a challenge. Okay, let's ask Kylie.
Let's have Kylie then. Look, if we can't have Ozzy Osbourne, we're going to get Kylie Minogue. She's the second choice. She's the clear second choice to Ozzy Osbourne.
If you can't get Kylie Minogue, then I'll take Kat from EastEnders.
So, yeah, they tell Toulouse and the little gang of, you know, misfits tell Ewan McGregor that he's got an audience with Nicole Kidman. And he's like, oh, fuck. So he goes to our elephant.
Can I just have like a second to talk about the amazing entry to the club?
Sure.
I'm just so excited by it. So we go to the club and it's so magical. There's all these can-can dancers and Harold Zidler, and they do this whole musical menagerie, and then they do the can-can. It's like a battle on the floor, and it's like, oh yeah,
I had no time for it.
I loved it. Apparently the can-can used to be done in like crotch snickers, and people would get like hurt during it because it was so like ferocious.
Yeah, I've heard it used to be a bit feisty. Then we get the intro to Nicole Kidman and she does her big intro number.
The Germans are glad to die for a cause. They delight in killing Jews.
Fuck it, this was like, yeah, like 30 years too early. 40 years too early.
Maybe she was just like an early adopter of the course.
Yeah, she was his inspiration.
Yeah, she fucking descends from the ceiling and does a little routine with diamonds. And she sings, "Diamonds are a girl's best friend."
Yes.
She flounces that sparkly pussy everywhere.
She flounces it.
Yeah, and fucking like, Ewan McGregor and his little like posse of Toulouse and the others are in this like booth, all dressed as like gentlemen. Then in the other booth is the Duke, who Harold Zidler has invited there.
And his gentleman.
His burly Grant Mitchell-esque gentleman.
Yeah.
Zidler joins Satine to do their little thing, and he's like, "Ah, Satine, the Duke is here, and we need to convince him to invest in the Moulin Rouge." And she's like, "Which one is the Duke?" And he's like, "The one that Toulouse is shaking a handkerchief at." Because Toulouse, this whole bit, I didn't get why Toulouse was near the Duke at all.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, but so that she thinks that Harold is pointing out Ewan McGregor when actually he's trying to point out the actual Duke, and she's all like, "Ooh."
And she's like, "Oh, Ewan McGregor's the Duke. Oh, he's fucking hot. I can tell he's got a big cock." And Harold Zidler is like, "Yeah, he's got a huge talent."
And she falls off her bloody swing.
Yeah.
It's a whole drama.
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh my God." So they whisk her backstage, and then like the, I don't know who this woman is, the nurse governess, is like, "Someone fucking give me a tube of smelling salts," and I put it under her nose, and get the doc. And the doctor comes. He's like, "Hello, I'm a doctor." But he's not the real doctor. He's just a man with a white hair and a mustache.
He sees the white handkerchief she's coughed blood into, and he goes, "Oh, it's not that time, is it?"
"Yes.
Get her out of my sight."
Oh, right. Do you want to know what's funny? Is that when I was a kid, I legitimately thought that she died of AIDS. Because I thought, oh, so she's a sex worker and she was coughing up blood. She must have got AIDS.
She cough up blood with AIDS.
I don't even know. And I didn't even like know that AIDS wasn't a thing until like the 80s. But I didn't know what consumption was. I thought it was just like old timey slang for AIDS.
Yeah.
Alas. So it's like, "Oh, she's got blood on her thing. Do you know what? I better give her a fanny check." So he puts his fingers up her mouth. He's like, "I can't feel anything untoward." She's like, "You don't look like the regular doctor." And he's like, no, "I'm the doctor." "Look, I got my medical degree here." And he shakes like a rotten bit of paper in her face.
"I'll check your fanny too if you don't believe me."
"Yes, make sure you're the right temperature." And she's like, "All right." It's like, "On second thoughts, no, it's fine. Everyone's fine. She is fine. She just needs a good sleep and a spoonful of marmalade and a pat on the head and maybe a puppy. Anyway, I gotta go. I got other women who need to be seen. I mean, who'd be inspected. I mean, felt.
I mean, fingered. I mean,
And he runs away. Then Satine's like, "Oh, what happened?"
And then the doctor arrives.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, anyway, so what is wrong with her?" He's like, "We already had a doctor." "No, I'm the only doctor in Paris." How peculiar. She goes back to her, like, parlour, I guess. Which is this really cool room in this, like, Indian-style elephant head thing.
Yeah, it's an elephant chamber thing. Yeah.
Which I thought, if it, like, I'm not being funny, but Paris is not, like, a tropical climate. Like, it rains a lot. So why is this open thing not with, like, doors and shit? Anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's fantasy land.
It doesn't rain in fantasy land.
No, except when it's, you know, dramatically, emotionally appropriate.
Yeah, that's when it's not fantasy land. That's when it's nightmare land.
Ooh.
Oh, spooky, spooky vag. Oh, I see, your vag is all ghostly.
Whoa.
God, that frightened me. God, it looks like you got a little ghoul down there. Look at his teeth and gravestones. Yeah. They did call me Night Vag McGee when I was in school.
Night Vag. So she has on a little black satin number to meet what she thinks is the Duke.
Yeah, so Christian shows up and she's like, "Oh, the Duke, oh." And he's like, she's like, "Oh, let's make love." And he's like, "No, I want to read you my poetry." She's like,
"Yeah,
poetry."
She is clearly off her fucking rocker in this scene.
Oh, right? Fucking.
Like, oh my God.
She's got a bunghole full of opium.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, is that what we're calling? He's like, yes. I mean, it's quite different, but I think you might like it. And she's like, oh, I'm sure I will. And then he's like, sorry, I'm a bit nervous. And I find it hard to perform when I'm nervous. And she's like, let me help you with that. And then she dips his balls in hot acid. He's like, oh, fuck.
They won't be bothering you anymore.
Yes. Now I've just got a gaping hole, just like me.
Let's rub them together.
Scissor. This is an art attack. Anyway.
So he sings her a bit of Elton.
Yeah, he's like, my gift is my soul. And she's like, wow, fucking hell. She gushes all over the bed. And then he like whisks her away into like a swirling mist of cloud and stuff. And then she's like, oh, I think I'm in love. Who ever thought I would fall in love with a duke? He's like, I'm not a duke. And she's like, what? He's like, I'm not a duke. I'm a writer. And she's like, oh, you're one of Toulouse's cunts.
It's like, oh my. I mean, yes, I suppose.
I suppose so, yes. Cunt's an acronym, yes? Clearly unemployed new trainee.
You're an unemployed trainee, yes.
Yes, what's difficult to understand? I'm not getting paid, but I'm in training. I guess so. And you are clearly new. New as a shiny penny. Anyway, but then the fucking real Duke does appear.
Yes. And there's this whole farce where he's in the room, but she's all like, oh no, don't look over there. Look at this instead.
Yeah, look at my tits. Look, my areolas can sing. Look, my gift is master. And she, like, I can't remember what line she sings to him, but his eyes, like, sparkle with love, and Christian tries to head out, but the fucking bodyguard's outside, so Christian heads back in, and then the Duke gets pushed out, and she's like, no, I can't sleep with you until we're married, or something like that, or opening night of the play. You need to invest in the play or something.
Yeah, and then once the Duke's outside, I can't remember exactly how, but they get caught in a compromising position.
Yeah, I can't remember what happens with that.
Do they just fully go, all right, let's bang then?
No, she passes out.
Oh, yeah. And then he says, all right, let's bang then.
Oh, I was going to say, oh, he says, oh, I'll bring the stars out. And she's like, oh, where are your clothes? He's like, oh, at my aunt's house.
Some of them, anyway. Yeah. I've got so many.
Yeah, I live a very, very wild lifestyle. So it's like, I can tell. Anyway.
I used to run for that bus.
Ah, but now I live in Scunthorpe. Where do you live? I live here in the Moulin Rouge. Ah, yes, of course, I've got. You're a lovely little sex worker, aren't you? Yes, I am. They call me the sparkling diamond. Why? You know. Anyway, always good talking to you.
Yeah. Yes, lovely coherent conversation, as always.
No, they're fucking on top of each other. Not that they're not fucking on top of each other. They accidentally fall on top of each other. And then the Duke comes back in. And then he's like, what the fuck is going on here? And he's like, oh, we're just rehearsing. And then he's like, you're rehearsing with them on top of you. And then Toulouse comes in and goes, how's rehearsal going?
Yeah, the troupe come in.
Yeah.
To bolster up the story.
Then Harold arrives. And then she's like, Harold, we were just telling the Duke we were rehearsing for the new play. And then he's like, yes. And then they do a presentation of the play. They have to, like, improvise on the spot, which I thought was so good.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, the Duke's like, ah, he gets to the end of it. And they do this amazing presentation. And he's like, on the whole, I think I like it.
And they all go, yay.
He'll go, yay, and then it zooms out. And then we go straight into fucking Christian, fucking knuckles deep in Nicole as he's writing the play.
They're in love, after all.
Yes, I need one hand in your vag and the other one's on my typewriter. So much inspiration. You're like a battery. Charging my creative amp. Anyway.
So yeah, he's sort of looking forlornly out the window and decides to climb up her elephant and tell her he loves her.
Yeah. He's like, all you need is love. It's like, girl's got to eat. All you need is love. She ended up on the street. All you need is love. Love me just a girl. Then they do this elephant love melody, which I really like.
Yeah.
And then they kiss at the end of it because they fall in love.
They fall in love. He brings her around.
Yeah, fucking hell he does.
He sure does.
Brings her around, turns around.
Reaches around.
It's like, I'm going to put my penis in your bum hole and my fingers in the front hole. I'm going to play you like a bagpipe.
Squeeze you in and out like an accordion.
She's like, ah, oh, so French. So yeah, like basically Zidler and the Duke have a little combo, and the Duke's like, I want the deeds to the Moulin Rouge if I'm going to invest, and I want exclusive rights to Satin.
Yeah.
Just don't like other people touching my things.
Stop touching my thing.
Yes.
Like that.
I mean, I don't mind it when you do it, but not anyone else. Go on, touch my thing. It's underneath this bowl ad. And he's just like, oh, okay. Oh, Duke, it looks like a cockroach standing on top of a chip. He's like, yes. That's why I need to know if Satine will stay with me no matter what. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's like, oh, God, I don't know if anyone can stomach this. He's like, you should see my bollocks. He's like, I don't want to, but now I'm so curious. I think I have to. Oh, it looks like two pufferfish. One's inflated and one's not. What a peculiar imaginarium of genital creatures you have.
Satine will love this.
Yes. She's a sparkling diamond. You're a sparkling zoo, I guess. Parisian zoo. Oh my god. But Zidler's like, yeah, fucking hell, okay, and signs it all over. And then Satine starts spending all her nights with Christian and starts making excuses not to spend nights with the Duke.
Yeah, they're getting pretty brazen about it. Everyone kind of knows. And then Zidler discovers them and tells her off.
She's like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing nothing, Harry. He's like, you need to end this. The Moulin Rouge is at stake. I don't care about your happiness. All I care is that you... She's like, Zidler, is everything okay?
Yes.
He's like, I... And blood starts pouring out his nose. And she's like, fuck. You've got the new disease too? He's like, I only touched his cockroach on a chip for a second, I swear.
But you've got it for the rest of your life, my dear.
Yes, do you know why? Because you inhaled as you swallowed. Anyway, so... oh, fucking hell, that was awful. what happens? Yeah, she passes out again.
Yeah, she real sick, though.
Yeah, she's, like, looking proper deathly white. And she's meant to have dinner with the Duke that night.
And with Christian.
Oh, yeah! And then the Duke's like, fucking hell, what's she fucking doing? Is she with anyone else? He's like, no, she's confessing, says Zidler to him.
Oh, yeah. And then they sing like a virgin.
Yeah, that was, I thought that was really fun. I loved how this bit like broke like the fourth wall so many times.
Just singing it into the camera. Yeah.
The guy who plays the Duke is amazing, I think. Like,
yeah,
everyone is, but like he was really awesome, I thought. Ironically, I think that Ewan McGregor is probably like the weakest part of this film. And not because he's a bad actor, he's just not a particularly outstanding performance, considering that everyone else's is so good, I think.
I know what you mean.
Maybe he just didn't have enough to work with, though. All the other characters.
Well, this is quite, it. I feel like often supporting characters have a lot more personality about them. And the main sort of protagonist is sort of a bit blank slatey for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's weird, isn't it? Because it's almost like universally like that in everything.
Yeah, I guess it's because you don't want your main character's personality to be too Marmite-y, you know, too divisive.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And like, yeah, yeah. Anyway, fuck it. So the next day, Satine wakes up and she's like, she's with Christian. And he's like, where were you last night? She was like, I was sick. I told you that already. It's like, were you fucking the Duke? She was like, no. Unless he crept into my room while I was barren and asleep and put his little cockroach in my cluster. He's like, huh. And he's like, I'm going to write a song.
So that we can always sing it and then know that we love each other.
Yes. I've got a title. I think it's going to be called Two Become One. She's like, ah, yes. And it goes... swing a little bit lower, Satine. Give me AIDS. Give me AIDS. I need some AIDS. Like, I've never needed AIDS before. Want to give AIDS to you, baby. Oh, God. Fucking hell. Yeah, then we get a montage of them singing it in rehearsals and then sort of like fucking in plain sight of the Duke.
Fuck it, looking him directly in the eyes.
He's like, I didn't think I'd like it, but it's oddly thrilling.
Yeah.
Who knew I was such a cuckold?
Put me in a cage.
Put me in a cage and feed me grapes and put a chastity belt around my nethers. And then chain my arms to the gates of the cage. And then, oh, I'll just have to come through involuntary ejaculation. I said it is voluntary because what I'm seeing is so thrilling. Obviously, I have a receptacle underneath me. I don't want all that goodness to go to waste. Oh, God. And then during one of the rehearsals, and I hate that I know this, but this worker's full name is Nini Legs in the Air.
Lol.
Yeah. And she's one of the four whores of the apocalypse, is what they're called. It's her, the fat one, the black one, and the other one.
As they are professionally known.
Yeah. Oh, God. She goes out to the Duke and she's like...
she's like, the ending doesn't make sense. Why would she choose... why wouldn't she choose the Maharaja over the penniless writer? Oh, I'm sorry, I mean, sitar player.
Yeah, and I thought, you fucking bitch.
I guess. I mean, they are making a fool of him.
Yeah, but why? No, but she's just being a cow because she's, like, jealous of Satine.
Yeah.
That's pure, like, wickedry, I think.
I guess so. But also, this guy is funding this entire production and they are literally humiliating him and making
a
fool of
him. She's actually putting the whole production at risk by telling him.
I suppose so. But yeah, so their play, we should probably mention, is kind of an allegory for what Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman's relationship ends up being.
Yeah, it's kind of just the film, but set in India, but everyone's white.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Duke's like, I don't like this ending. Why would the courtesan choose the penniless sitar player as the Maharaja who would give her everything?
Yes.
And then Ewan's like, because she doesn't love you! Him. I mean him. She doesn't love him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you will get a new ending, otherwise this play will not go ahead. And then Nicole's like, yes, of course. And don't worry, Duke, I'll have dinner with you tonight.
If you know what I mean.
Yes. You can eat me out. He's like, oh, can I bring a knife and fork? She's like, you can bring any utensil you want. Just make sure you get a good scoop. He's like, it's a little bit funny. This feeling inside.
This feeling inside.
It's a little bit runny.
Yeah.
This feeling inside. So fucking hell, yeah, we cut to that night and Christian's all like forlorn and the Argentinian's like, oh, I never fall in love with a woman who says her body to the night.
Yes.
And they have a little like a tango dance and then Christian sings a lament as he walks out. Satine's fucking getting it on with the Duke. Not getting it on, she's having dinner with the Duke in his gothic castle.
Yeah.
Which is like next door to the Moulin Rouge scenes, which is weird, but okay.
Yeah, it's like in the Gothic Tower. But then, yeah. Like, Zidler says earlier, like, oh, I've got everything prepared for you in the Gothic Tower, which makes me think that the Gothic Tower is part of the Moulin Rouge, maybe?
Maybe he got that as a thing when he bought the... when he sort of invested in the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it is his now.
Yeah. But yeah, they're on the balcony, looking over, and she is, you know...
She's like, I will love you till my dying day. But she shouts out really loud. She's like, I will love you to my dying day.
Ewan.
Ewan. Oi, Obi.
Yeah. I have the higher ground.
Oh, she's Australian, I guess. Like, so like, Ewan, I will love you until my dying day.
And he's like, oh, thank you.
Yes. Do you know how long you've got left to live?
Not too long, I don't think.
No, I mean, I'm coughing up blood on the regular. It's coming out both ends.
It's like, excellent, then I will love you until your dying day. As well.
Yes, and I will love you on your dying day. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, nah, it's fine as long as you don't mind a blood spattered cock. And he's like, ugh.
my dear.
Do you want a bit of trivia?
Sure.
So that necklace shit she's wearing is the most expensive bit of jewellery ever used in cinema.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a couple of million, that necklace. It's all like real diamonds.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so she fucking walks back into the Gothic Tower. It's like, I can't do this, Duke.
Yeah, because he's seen her looking at the writer.
Yeah. And he's like, you will do this.
You will do me.
Yes. You do me. I do you. I will screw you in your poo. I know it's red, but I don't care. Let's get married. Sit on this chair. Oh, my God.
Fucking hell. If only the scene was that wholesome.
Yeah, he fucking proper tries to rape her. And I was like, what? I'm always so perplexed by, for someone like that to attempt to rape someone. And I'm like, what impulse is driving you to do that? And then two, what do you think the outcome is going to be? You know?
Well, this is it. I mean, I think as someone who has had a position of power like that, is not used to not being able to wield their power to get whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so when that stops working, you start wielding whatever power you can muster to get whatever you want. And I know what you mean. It's like, what he actually wants is for her to... Well, I don't even know if, like, hit her, you know, loving him in return is all that important to him. I think he wants ownership of her.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where it comes from.
So when, like, a serial killer, because a lot of serial killers start off as rapists and then, like, go on to serial killing. But when they rape, I can understand their psychology of that, the act of violence within it, and then the murdering after. It's all, like, all of that is all wrapped up in this sick, like, sexual desire. Like, that is erotic to them.
Yeah.
But, like, outside of that psychology... I think it must be almost completely divorced from sex, and it is purely like what you said about the ownership and the use of power.
Mm.
And the fact that a guy could get hard and do that with that intent is so puzzling and like troubling to me.
Yeah, you know? I know what you mean.
Such an awful thing. Yeah.
But then he gets punched by some guy who was just there.
This was fucking right. So this guy, so this is like the black guy in the film, because there is like a few other dancers.
Yeah, who's called Le Chocolat.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, God. But yeah, like, he doesn't even read, I think he has like maybe half a line at some point in the film. But he like sneaks away from the Moulin Rouge... like the Roxanne dance rehearsal that they're doing. And then he, when the Duke is attempting to rape Nicole, he knocks him out. He's like in the room and he knocks him out. He like emerges from the shadows. And I was like, one, why did he leave the rehearsal? Two, how did he end up in the Duke's room? Three, how did he know to go there? Four, why would he go there anyway?
Yeah, that bit was super confusing to me. I was like, wait, who is this guy? Why was he there? What this just happened?
Yeah, it was so random. It should have been like he was in like an opposite tower, looked through the window and saw the Duke like hitting her or something. So then he ran to there.
Yeah, and at least give that guy a couple of lines just to build his character a little bit if he's going to step in at that moment, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's just some random guy, as far as I know. Some random member of the ensemble, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He could have said, like, oh, man, I'm so glad he didn't fall in me part of reggae sauce.
Exactly. Build his character up a little bit. Fucking hell. So, yeah, she runs back to Christian and is all like, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to lie. The Duke knows, and he's like, let's run away together. So she goes back to pack.
Yeah. But yeah, Zidler can't. Oh, yes. So Zidler is with the Duke. The Duke's getting, like, stitches in his head. And he's like, if Satoon doesn't come for me, then I'm going to kill the writer. And you know what?
Yeah.
And then so Zidler has to go and tell Satoon.
Yeah, he tells her that, that he has to, that she has to stay and leave Christian. And then she's all like, no. And then he's like, you're dying, Satine.
Yeah. And she's like, what? And he's like, I've just stuck you with a needle.
You have 24 hours.
Yeah. That's just enough time to break up with him and do the show.
She's like, a little digital clock comes up on screen. Goes,
Yeah, she's like, what? And then she's like, no, you're fucking lying. And then the woman, like the governess, I'm going to call her, is like, gives her like a stern look. And then she's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, she's like, and she's all like, he'll stay, he won't go. And he's like, not if you convince him that you don't love him. You have to hurt him to save him.
Yeah. And then so she puts on her finest mourning attire, M-O-U-R. They burst into song. The show must go on. And the fucking, like, the seamstresses, like, so many of the curtains get so fucking into it. They're like, woohoo! It's like, oh, calm down. Yeah, she goes to him. She's like, I'm leaving you, Christian. I choose the duck. He's like, what?
That's really how the story ends.
Yeah. The duck has all the money I want. It owns a lake.
It has that sweet plum sauce.
Anyway, fucking hell. So Christian's like, no, but you love me. She's like, I don't love you. I love money and jewels. So yeah, she returns back to the Moulin Rouge to get ready for the play.
Yes. And Christian sinks into a depression in his shitty flat.
Yeah. And Toulouse is like, oh, don't worry, man. It'd be good in the end. I don't know why he's Irish all of a sudden.
I thought you were doing Scottish.
Oh, really? Oh, don't worry, lad. It'll be good in the end.
Yeah. Hey, dude, worry about it, chap. That's how Scottish people sound, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't worry, chap. They can take your concubine, but they can never take your typewriter. Toulouse is like, no, I think she really does love you. And then Christian's like, I need to make sure. So he sells his typewriter, gets a load of cash. He's like, I need to go back and ask Satine so I know for sure. So he goes back to the Moulin Rouge on opening night. Spectacular, spectacular.
Yes. And he's sneaking around backstage.
Yeah.
There's a whole little thing where the guy, fucking Grant Mitchell, spies him.
Yeah. And then he starts like tailing Christian.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Toulouse has kind of figured out what's going on. He's like, wait, no, she does love him, but the Duke's going to have him killed.
Yeah, because he overhears, like, Grant Mitchell and Zidler, like, having little conversations, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then Christian's, like, chasing Satine around the rafters. And he's like, no, tell me you love me. She's like, I don't love you, now fuck off. And he's like, fine, then I need to pay you for your services. And then they fucking, like, bust out onto the stage.
Yeah, of course they end up on stage.
Yeah. And he's like, here, I've paid my whore. And he throws his money at her. I was like, oh, man. I'm like, man, that was like, she's such a mess as well. She's crying. I'm like, oh, this is so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why, because the Argentinian is playing the sitar player, but he falls asleep backstage because he's got narcolepsy, of course.
Yeah, it falls down in front, right in front of Christian in a little nod to the beginning of the film.
Yeah, so that's why Christian's in costume and he's been able to get around backstage. So they're on stage and then Zidler's like, it's the sitar player disguised as someone else, but you don't fool me. And the audience is like, oh, yes. He's like, here's your fucking money.
Paid my whore.
Yeah. And then he walks off stage And then Toulouse remembers his line because he has trouble remembering his lines. And then he's like, that's it, that's it. The greatest thing you can ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And then Nicole is like, never knew I could feel like this. Yeah, and then Christian's like, oh, that's my, that's our fucking song.
Oh, babe.
Yeah. She's like, candlelight and AIDS forever. a dream of you and me in hospital together. yeah, and then they kiss on stage and do the finale, and the fucking Grant Mitchell comes out and tries to shoot him still, but he gets knocked out. Yeah,
we're just giving up on all like discretion, just charging through like crowded theater with a gun.
Yeah, someone like kicks him or something, and then the gun goes to the end of the stage, and the Duke picks it up to shoot Christian.
And Jim fucking clocks him one.
You mean Zidler clocks the Duke?
I said Jim, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said the Duke clocks him one. All right, sorry, Tom. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the curtain falls, and then Christian's like, hey, I'll fucking over with you, lassie. And she's like, oh, God, I got a cough. Yeah, and then she dies in his arms, man. And she's like, promise me that you will tell our story.
Yeah.
Yeah, this that bit was so sad, man.
Yeah, it gives a proper forlorn cry.
Yeah. That was like, I really fucking felt that. Like, that felt like how it would be if that was real to me.
Yeah.
But then I did think, okay, after that, like, 5 minutes of crying, then what happens? Is someone like, can someone pick up the body? If I drag it backstage, that's it. The fucking Zidler at one point is like, oh, get the doctor, and then like the fake doctor goes like, oh, oh, yeah. And then, like, runs.
Failing that, just bring a mop.
Yeah. So bring her dead body backstage, and the fake doctor comes back and is like, oh, I tried to telephone my superior, then I realised the telephones haven't been invented yet. How unusual. Anyway, I'll take care of the body now. They're like, but why? He's like, oh, I need to do some tests. I need to do an autopsy. I need to do a special examination. I brought my magnifying glass, a pair of pliers, and some margarine.
of course, doctor.
But yeah, then it kind of cuts to Christian, him months later, a few months after him at the start of the film, I think, where he sort of cleaned himself up a bit because he's gotten to the end of writing the story. And then he's like,
it says, but above, this is a story about something and about something else. But above all else, it's a story about love, a love that will live forever. The end.
Yeah. And then it fucking fades to black and we get sad outro music.
Yeah.
I love that it didn't have a happy ending. I really do.
Yeah, it was quite nice, actually.
Yeah, it was, like, refreshing, I think.
Because I was so conditioned thinking, like, how is this going to wrap up and be happily ever after?
Mm.
And then it just isn't. Which, yeah, like you say, is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fucking Moulin. That's the fucking Moulin Rouge.
It's the fucking Moulin Rouge.
Oh, fucking hell. We'll come back next time for more shenanigans from me and the other guy.
Whoever he is.
Yeah. Oh, good. I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And AIDS has been AIDS.
Wow, that's just what our comedy has dwindled down to.
That's basically just dicks, AIDS, and serial killers. Oh, bye-bye.
Bye.